Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening and tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you, and I'm once again delighted to be joined here firstly by Niall McIntyre. How are you, Niall?
How's things, Dan? Good to be here.
I'm absolutely flying it. Lee Costello is back from injury. Lee, how are you? What did you pull this week?
No, last week was a hurling week and no football, no Lee Costello and no Lee Costello, no show. I thought you guys went ahead without me.
The listenership was down. What do you
mean? Yeah.
Perfect stuff. I'd say there's only one thing you were pulling this weekend, I'd say. Like St. Patrick trying to get rid of the snakes.
Oh my God. No comment.
That's the listenership dropping even further. Plenty to look forward to on today's show. But first, looking even further back, and we're going rewinding the clock. Now, after myself and Niall's debate over should players be getting paid or not, I saw a comment we received on it on X, the app formerly known as Twitter, at Owen H. Hurley says, 12 to 16 clubs need to come together, put on their big boy pants, exit the GAA and set up their own professional league. The GAA stays amateur. GAA club season mirrors the pro league season, rubber stamping club / intercounty season, and pro players would still be allowed to represent their county. And he says, the way I see it, if places like Cyprus and Denmark can have 2 to 3 divisions of pro and semi-pro soccer, then surely we could make one league work. Central contracts with a wage cap, so things don't get out of control. Most contracts would be in and around 35 to 50k plus bonuses. Now, with it only being myself and Niall on last league, it was a mini debate. But since Lee's returned, we now go for a mass debate. So, our first mass debater up, Niall. What are your opinions on this?
I kind of have to get my head around it first. I'm not really sure, like what Owen H. Hurley, what he actually means. So he's talking about a breakaway league.
Yeah.
Made up of like 12, 16 clubs. So like which 16, 12, 16 clubs? Is it one from each county? What is the plan here?
I don't know. You'll have to ask at Owen H. Hurley, but you think there is something in it? The essence of it. Don't be thinking, overthinking it now, is what I would say.
Okay, so you tell me now, break it down simply how you're going to see this.
All the Ulster clubs, surely. Like if you're looking at competitive competition, all the Ulster. I'm not for this, but now that you've got it talking, I was like, well, it'd be the Ulster ones.
So it's just random clubs, like.
So let's say the winners.
Or maybe do you invent a random club and then, I don't know, Cork and Kerry have a team, or two counties at once have a team.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Fair enough, Lee. What are your opinions on it? Is this absolutely shite, or
No, this is absolute nonsense, to be honest with you. And they talk about like second division in Belgium and Denmark and stuff, but that's still football. Football is a professional sport. Like, listen, there's three good reasons why I think the GAA players shouldn't get paid. You were the one that was for it, weren't you?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you're wrong. Basically, like, so the GAA is an organization, and Gaelic Games is over a century old. It's a brilliant, well-organized game, but in terms of its foot in the world in a global stance, it's still in its like embryonic state, in the sense that like there's lots of clubs popping up in Australia and America and things like that, but it's still just a footnote in the sporting world, you know, from a global perspective. So it's too small, and until it's big enough in an international platform, you can't really be talking about professionalism on that sense. And then secondly, like, I like GAA players are paid in a certain sense. You know, you get a lot of opportunities for being a county footballer and county hurler, and deservedly so. Like, you get elite athlete scholarships, you know, to get into universities, to get an education. So that, I mean, that's something that lasts you well after your career's finished.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about professionalism, but I do think they should be getting, you know, maybe 200 quid a week. And maybe that goes, say, if you're in Talton Cup, you might get 100 if your county happens to be in Sam Maguire.
But even, 200. But that's down to pot luck too, with what county you're born from. And that sort of ruins the point of the GAA in its sense too. Like, you know, it's you play for it where you're from, and that's just the way it is. And but another thing, like even career aspects, like how many jobs have been made, like ambassador roles at banks and stuff for county players? I'm being serious. And they do good jobs or whatever it is they're doing. But teachers and chartered accountants, like how many times have they got jobs that are really, really competitive because of the clout that being a county player brings? Because like if you're a county player, you're showing an inhuman level of like commitment and dedication and ambition, all things that employers want and find it difficult to get. And then, you know, you've got all the extras that come with being a county player in terms of their profile. And if you're someone like David Clifford, who, if there was a pay, or like a wage, he'd probably get paid more than everybody, you know, because he's the best player in the country. But like his profile is so big, like if tomorrow he wanted to start a company selling Gaelic football gloves, call them Clifford Catchers, I don't know.
And how he doesn't have a social media presence is beyond me. He would be making,
that's what I'm saying,
an absolute
by Christmas
fortune.
By Christmas, every single kid in the country would be wearing them gloves, and he'd be number one in that supply chain or whatever. And that's because of the profile that he's built in this amateur sport. So, you know, he would get the benefits of that too, if he so chooses to. But then the other thing is too, like, no players are calling for this. This isn't like, I don't hear anyone. Do you heard anyone?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Or pundits when they retire and they become pundits and columnists, when they do have a voice then, they're still all about keeping the ethos of it. Like,
are they afraid they'd be called a prick?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them are afraid of being. Have you read these columnists? Like, being a prick is half the job.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it would be the easiest article in the world to write, and they would get loads of attention, and that's what a lot of them want. But none of them want this. They don't want the core of Gaelic sports being amateur to be gone. You know, I mean, it's like you play, you represent your club and you represent your county, and I know it sounds corny, but there is really something really honourable in that, and that doesn't exist in other sports, and I think we should try to protect that.
Okay. Our other mass debate up, the GAA opening up Croke Park as a fan zone for the Europa League final. Now, apparently, UEFA have already booked/hired it out. Are you in favour of this? Lee, I'll stick with you here.
Yeah, I'm just sort of going back to that whole growth thing. Like, I love showing, like, you know, when I'm going on holidays, you always want to tell people, and they've never heard of the sport, you're showing them videos on YouTube and things. Like, it's a fun game to do.
Oh, you're that lad.
Yeah. No, what are you? And I actually play for that, but I'm injured at the minute. I think Croke Park is like one of the best like spectacles that we have. So, you know, if you can show that off to people who've maybe never heard of it beforehand, that gets them at least Googling or asking the question about like hurling and Gaelic football, and maybe they'll come back over and see it again. Okay, it's only good news.
Niall, our traditionalist from last week. I have a fan of soccer fans getting into Croke Park.
I have a big profile to live up to now as the GAA's resident traditionalist. Like, I nearly feel as if it's my responsibility when ye boys, ye real open-minded individuals are...
Seller souls.
Yeah, I have to defend
the honour of the GAA.
The honour, yeah. So, that being said, I'm not hugely against it because I suppose... Number one, it's the 22nd of May is the Europa League final, and the GAA is already in concert kind of mode at that stage because Bruce Springsteen is there on the 19th of May. I don't know if either you're lucky enough to have tickets for it, but
never that much of a fan.
It's no right, but look, if someone wants to throw us in a few tickets, I'm sure we'll definitely take them. But it's kind of going to be set up for something similar to that. So no real complaints. The next game that will be in Croke Park is the Nicky Rackett finals on the 1st of June, sort of 2 weeks to get right. Hopefully, if there's any damage done to the pitch now, I definitely won't be.
They'll have the money to get it fixed, surely, off the back of 80,000 tickets probably being sold for that, because it definitely would sell out. If Liverpool are in that Europa League final, no question about it, that's selling out.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been even more entertaining if Rangers were there as well, wouldn't there?
But they're not.
That possibility was taken away last week. But
the insurance would have went up.
Yeah, as long as there's no damage done to the pitch, I'm just going to, as a traditionalist, I'm just going to stand down and take nine. This one.
That's
on
how
the
you
chin.
Could get your ticket. Okay, you could be watching everyone stamping on the grass too hard or anything.
Yeah.
Work at Harry, you've got a baton and all.
You want me to become a Croke Park groundsman?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Nile, what about the poor residents?
It's going to be a tough few days for them, isn't it?
They're always giving out anyway.
They live beside Croke Park.
They live for giving out about it as well.
So it's... it's a occupational hazard, as you say. If you live beside it, that's just going to be the way. Like, I remember when it was, we're going off topic here, but when it was the Garth Brooks one, I was listening to an interview with one of the Croke Park residents, and they were like, you know, people think it's just a noise, like, but I looked out and there was someone, you know, urinating in my garden, like, you know, like, so there is kind of different aspects to it.
Do you know what? Probably added to the place. we're not just content with discussing it in studio. We now go live to a reporter in the field, Junior B.
Thanks, Dan. I'm here at Dr. Hyde Park, where I'm asking the match-going public some of the burning questions within the GA at the moment.
There's rumours that if Liverpool make their Europa League final, that they're going to open Croke Park as a sort of a fan zone because the Europa League final is in Dublin. What do you think about opening Croke Park to soccer fans?
Well, I think Croke Park lost its tradition when they opened it up to rugby first there. I think
you wouldn't have done it?
I wouldn't have done it. I think we lost our sovereignty when we opened Croke Park and let in the games in. We left in foreign games into Croke Park. And if we go back and look at the history, saw what the Black and Tans done to the Irish people in Croke Park in cold blood, I think they should have never been left into Croke Park.
I wouldn't let them into Ireland, never mind into Croke Park. They should be banned from the face of the earth. They're on about Gaza. Get rid of them.
No comment. They might as well bleed them dry, and Rangers aren't going to be there this year, so
yes.
Work away. Take the pretty penny down.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Ah, sure.
The Irish people.
Oh, well, the Scouts are good Irish people.
Let them in.
I think it'd be a great job.
You're a Liverpool fan?
No. Chelsea. Oh, yeah, I agree with that as well.
Definitely not.
No, you don't want them in it.
I'll show you.
You're a bit biased on that.
Niall, was that your father in the first one? It was.
It was, yeah. No, it wasn't.
She's mad that old Junior B could do that live. He also asked the match going public what they think of the Casement Park redevelopment.
Do you think Casement Park will get finished?
Yes, I think it will, yeah. I think the appropriate money is there and I think it's going to the right authorities, and I think we need to promote the GA above in Northern Ireland as well.
Where's that?
Ah, lads, you need to get out of Carrick and Shannon.
I hope it does, but they're going to need cooperation from both sides financially, and I hope it does, though.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. There's a huge enthusiasm there amongst the grassroots, and while there's opposition from some of the unionists, and that's understandable, yeah, I definitely think it will, and hopefully in the short term.
No,
You don't think so? Why is that?
Oh, it's just a bit of a tip at the minute.
Definitely.
Definitely. And do you think the GAA will pay for it?
Hopefully. Yes, 100%.
And do you think the GA is going to pay for it?
Somewhat. They'll contribute, I'm sure,
they will, they'll have to.
Do you think the GA should pay for it, or...?
Yes, I think they should, yes.
Oh, God, no, let them pay for it up north. Stormont and all the rest of it. We've enough problems down here.
Well, the unions, that's the problem at the moment. Like, I think that there will be a solution that has... more difficult decisions overcome, like... as regards peace, but in the long term, this will be built for sure.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for it? Everybody.
Do you think the GAA should pay for it?
Partly, but not fully. Yeah, partly. Yeah.
Niall, anything you want to pick up on there? The Black and Tans worse than the rugby crowd?
I'm going to steer away from any of those sort of loaded topics. I think Lee might be more able for something like that, living as he is up in the cold face there. So,
No, I might never get back up again. Give an honest opinion.
Right, you're only half an hour in. You might as well talk about some GA anyway,
fair,
I'd say.
Fair.
The ref has thrown in the slitter, and it was the big one. Well, was it the big one? Mayo versus Derry. at the weekend. Ended Mayo 2-13, Derry 3-15. Lee, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, very exciting game. I actually think this game, probably more than anything, highlights just how far Derry have come, because they arrived and they blew Mayo away, you know, earlier on in the game, and then Mayo did what Mayo can do, you know, and that. And
lose an Ireland final.
Well, they buckled down and they made a real fight of it. You know, they don't let you have anything too easy. And then they came back. Ran O'Donoghue kicked that ball in, and it was Toey got the goal. But and that sort of brought them straight back into it. But Derry, and they're in McHale Park here, like, and they were able to keep such cool heads, and that Oran Lynch just took forever with the kick out then at that stage. You know, the Mayo crowd were going mad and everything, and kicks a good ball to Conor Glass, and then they get the next point. And it just showed like a real maturity that they were able to puncture Mayo's momentum. Whilst before, because they weren't used to playing at this level and weren't used to, like, sometimes you need to have a sense of belonging at the top level or whatever. But I do believe that Derry believe that they're better than Mayo, and that's massive when you think 4 years ago, you know, Mayo was in, or Derry was in, like, Division 4.
Do you believe there? I personally do.
I think so, yeah. And I think it sort of solidified that yesterday. Just a brilliant footballing team, you know, and it's the mentality switch now more than anything this year that makes them more dangerous.
Niall, your thoughts on it? Was it just that Derry goal from, there was a poor kick out, really, that sealed the deal?
It was. I suppose coming into this one, you probably didn't think it was going to be hugely, there wasn't too much riding on it, because you know, Mayo and Derry, do Mayo want to get to a league final? Kevin McStay was kind of joking last week that they didn't, but then it was probably the best game of the weekend, as it turned out. I'd say, you know, when some of these games kicks off, teams just realise that, you know, you don't want to lose to a big rival, to give them what's going to be a bit of a, you know, a bit of momentum coming into the summer and so on. It was a brilliant game. There was lots of brilliant scores in it and great moments in it. Like, I suppose the Paul Towie goal was probably, that got the Mayo crowd going, because it probably looked, Derry got 9 points ahead, and you're kind of thinking then that are they going to run away with this one? But they didn't. The atmosphere was brilliant at that stage, as is always the case in Mayo, that they got the place absolutely bouncing. Mm-hmm. Then Reap got a 45 and it was down to 3 points and game on. But I suppose, as Lee said, it was the sign of the confidence and the maturity Derry have, that they were able to get 2 points on the bounce. Conor Glass, of course, being the leader that he is, he stepped up one, and then Shane McGuigan, as good as he is for scoring, he set up Niall Toner for the next one. So that summed up how good that Derry are. But there was some good moments. Did you notice Oran Lynch, the time he was dispossessed around midfield, and he just doesn't bother go back to the goals, even though there's an open goals behind him, like, he still stays out trying to tackle Aidan O'Shea. I thought that was, I really liked that, like, brilliant, the mindset. And O'Donoghue nearly got the goal, actually, from it. He was raging with himself that he kicked it over. But I love that from Lynch. He's just like, right, I'm here now and I'm staying here. Like,
surely in Gaelic football, it's last man back at that stage. You know, like, does it have to be Lynch?
Just two flykeepers.
But, like, you can handle it anyway. Like, you mean, someone else take a response. Whoever's closest to goal, take that responsibility.
You know, talking about the scores there, Derry with 10 different scores lead. Do you think there's any other team in the country that could get that type of ratio?
Maybe Dublin, in fairness. You know, Dublin have a good spread of scores. Whenever the top men are locked down, they have, it frees up space elsewhere, and they've just got quality footballers all over the park. But yeah, no, in terms of, like, Derry, like, what was the big thing about Derry? Squad depth. You know, they're far too reliant on their starting 15 and far too reliant on Shane McGuigan up front. I think he's still finished with, like, 1-6, so it's not like he's lacking or anything. But because everyone else is pitching in, and they're so dangerous when they run from deep as well with the running game, and that's why so often it's the defenders again.
Conor McCluskey coming from corner back once again, like, it's mad how he's a goal threat coming to championship.
Well, that's three goals, in this league campaign. You know, I mean, it's just incredible, and they're all different finishes as well. You know, like, he takes the ball at pace, and when it opens up in front of him, like, I still don't know why they back off. I'm sure they're going to have to earmark him as, like, a genuine threat. You know, when you see him getting close to goal, close him down, because he's going to take that shot on. He's not like old school defenders who run with the ball to try and lure another defender out just to pop it over the head to a forward to take on that shot. He's more than willing to do it himself, and rightly so at this stage.
if you're a Mayo fan, you're probably in a permanent state of worry anyway. But are you worried after that match, or is it just Derry are so good?
I wouldn't say you're overly worried. Cora Staunton was on this league Sunday, and she was giving out about, you know, the defending, that it was too lax, and she was probably right for a few of the goals. The McCluskey one, you know, it was probably it's a difficult one when it's Derry, that there are so many lads running straight lines, bombing straight down the middle. But and all the Mayo defenders kind of had a man, and they kind of opened a path for McCluskey to get in. And I suppose it was the same way for the who got Niall Loughlin's goal when Wigan crossed it in, that Rory Brickenden was kind of
Do you think he meant that at the cross? Like he was picking him out? Looked like he was shooting.
It was such a bad shot. I doubt, by McGuigan standards, it was probably more of a cross. But the Mayo probably, like, usually they're so good defensively that they might be slightly worried about that. Cora Staunton mentioned that they haven't really settled on a centre back.
Experimented with that role for years.
Yeah. Like Loftus was there last year.
Yeah, and Ian O'Shea, they tried him before that.
Yeah. They are missing Paddy Dirk and and a few others as well. So I wouldn't be overly worried if I was Mayo, no.
Okay. And a team, maybe there's a bit of worry creeping in with this side. Galway, 14 points. Dublin, 22. Firstly, more double headers needed in the GA, lads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Love a good double header. And some you'd hope always that the supporters will stay for both games. Some counties they mightn't, you know, because there's hurling snobs,
there only
football snobs.
6-7 counties that'll ever get away with it, the likes of
Cork,
Galway, Cork, Dublin.
Yeah, that's probably it. Like Tipperary, we could have maybe a while ago, but not the way we're going at the minute. I'd
see some leaving en masse from the footballers.
In fairness, they've never been greatly supported, the footballers in Tipperary, but that's a different matter. We won't get into it.
Lee, would you go to a Tyrone hurling match before a football game?
I would, yeah. That happens quite often, actually. I mean, the Tyrone hurlers were playing before the Mayo game in Healy Park, and we were at it. I enjoy watching our hurlers there, actually, for, you know, the level that they're playing at. They're very competitive and they're growing, and hurling in Tyrone is becoming slightly bigger. Not to do with me, though, but so it's very much a football man.
Galway Dublin, what did you make of this one? Was it a drab enough game? I kind of thought it was.
It was drab enough in the sense that, like, well, you just immediately felt sorry for Galway when you seen their starting lineup, and that's nothing to do with the players there. It's just the amount of players that they're missing.
Cuccombe or Finnerty, like, there's so many lads come back.
You know, Shane Walsh and all as well. Like, I mean, and it's at this stage of the league, and it's been the entire league campaign. You know, like, I mean, we were saying about, like, at the start of the year, like, Derry, Dublin and Kerry are missing players, Tyrone were missing players, but they all started to gradually filter back in, and you could see them, you know, finding form. But Galway have just never had that privilege. If anything, it's just more and more injuries compounding it. So, like, you're going into the game thinking they're not really going to phase Dublin, and they had moments where they were able to put it up to them, and they'll definitely take positives from it. But I don't know, overall, like, it was sort of a bit of a dead duck.
Do you think they're doing quite well so far? I mean, 5 points on the table, but the injuries have just plagued them.
Yeah, if they survive this league, that's a very, very successful league for them, because recuperate, get everyone back for championship, give it a fair whack, and then next year, you know, they'll be in a good, strong position. They'll want to avoid relegation because they're definitely too good for Division 2. But if they're to pull it off, and Monaghan is obviously going down, and say it was Roscommon instead, then I think Galway would be, God, they'd be delighted.
Yeah, so it's that big two games next weekend is Roscommon and Derry. Roscommon will obviously be hoping that Derry will take their foot off the gas, and then Kerry and Galway.
But even taking your foot off the gas, they're going to play the players that haven't been starting. Like the likes of your, like, Emmett Bradley's and Eoin Mulholland.
They're going to be lads fighting. Yeah.
Brilliant players. Like, you know, like, it's a strong, strong team that's still going to be out there. Like, so it doesn't look good.
Roscommon need to win, and they need Galway to lose to Kerry. Like, so
you probably imagine Galway do lose, but I'd struggle to believe that Roscommon beat Derry, especially in Celtic Park.
Yeah, it's just how much I know, like, players will come in and they just mightn't be at the same, like, Roscommon have everything to fight for, you know. So maybe that will play into it for them. Galway will be the same, so they'll be definitely two very exciting games to watch next weekend.
Does Division 1 or 2 really matter to these teams, do you think?
Well, I suppose if you look at Armagh, they're the way they're going this year, they'll be absolutely buzzing and full of confidence heading into the championship.
Imagine same with Donegal as well.
Same with Donegal. And you know, Monaghan going down after 10 years, they'll be disappointed, and obviously you'd never want to go down, but like it mightn't be the end of the world for a team. Like we what was it, Brian Hurley, his quote earlier in the league, that everyone's out to get you in Division 2, that it's still very competitive, and I think it'll stand to the likes of Armagh this year, that, you know, their players, the likes of, say, Oisín Conaty there, Conor Turbitt, he's really standing up for them. That confidence will be huge for them. And, you know, that's given, they're getting that because they're getting a little bit, you know, just a little bit more of a chance in Division 2.
In Division 1, though, if you can get your structures at least right in the foundations and get experience of that standard in the players, then when they go to Division 2, they'll bounce straight back up. But then the flip side of that is the likes of Kildare, who, when they went down, now that's nearly back-to-back relegations. Do you know, like they're heading to Division 3 when 2 years ago they were playing in Division 1, beating Dublin. Like, that's
they're like Sunderland.
Yeah, but like, that's a huge fall off, isn't it? I mean, and that's because, you know, they obviously weren't able to get the structures in place. Otherwise, so, you know, it's not a blessing to be relegated by any chances, but if you can turn it into an opportunity, then so be it. But I think Monaghan will be fine.
Okay. Niall, we were on about him a few weeks ago. Con O'Callaghan doing Untold once again.
Yeah, sure, he's in brilliant form. In fairness, Sean Fitzgerald didn't do a bad job on him. Mm-hmm. He was under a lot of pressure at different stages, but it was hard to read into that game. It's kind of hard to read into a lot of Galway just so far, because they literally are missing their 7 or 8 their best players that they have. Like, and in fairness, Sport Joyce, he actually doesn't like talk about it too much or make it as an excuse, like, but like, I know some people say, you know, it's the panel and lads have stepped up, but they're missing Shane Walsh, they're missing Damien Comer, they're missing Killy McDade, Liam Silk, they're missing Paul Conroy at times. They're literally 6 best players that we've
ripping
named.
The spine out of the team, like, completely.
Exactly, like, so it's hard to Sean read Kelly. Into it, and you just Sean Kelly, like, come on,
the captain,
like,
you know,
like, so
it is tough. But on the Conor Callaghan point, like, isn't it just mad the difference when they kick the ball in? Like, it is insane. But like, Niall Scully kicked one in, and a little bit of fortune or whatever fell, but you know, it still worked out itself in the point. And he's just so much more alive and so much more of a buzz that even when it doesn't work out for him, like, if you're a defender, you're obsessed over him, and then that leaves space elsewhere for other players to perform. So he'll either get you a hat trick, or he'll end up bringing other players into
Fistle
the game.
Fistle pint stuff.
Oh, didn't like that.
No. Yeah, didn't like that. Because
he burnt him.
Be a man for the fist, but we've seen a few of them. Yep. Joe Connor got one for Kerry, and it could have been a goal on there.
Just on that, I read Bernard Brogan's book, right, and his whole thing at the end of his season, or his, like, last year, he was at training, and he was one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and he went to side pass it, you know, for the palm goal to someone else, and it didn't quite come off. And then he was raging with himself afterwards, because he was like, do you know what? If Con O'Callaghan was in that situation, he would have buried it. And then he realised himself, actually, you know who else would have buried that? A young Bernard Brogan. Mm. He's like, there's something about getting older and more mature. You become safer and more calculated. Like, you lose that little
pizzazz.
Yeah, the rogueness or something, the rawness, I don't know what it is.
It's like Canavan going for the drop shot finish, and McCurry ran 100 metres beside him.
Exactly, 100%.
And, you know, he just had, I'm taking this, I don't really care. I actually loved McCurry's reaction. He, like, you know the way sometimes when you see a player get a goal and his teammate is like Cristiano Ronaldo thing, that he'd kind of be like, he wouldn't celebrate. Like, but McCurry nearly jumped into the net, and it kind of showed that, you know, the two boys, they obviously get on so well, and they're on the same wavelength.
That shows, like, they have an incredible partnership.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably the best partnership in GAA potentially at the moment.
Well, at the minute, they're probably the dynamic duo. Like, when you think of one, they're the two boys that pop up for me in terms of Gaelic football now.
Clifford brothers aren't bad, to be fair.
The Cliffords.
Not as much leeway for them as they do know each other since for a fair while.
Yeah.
We're going to mix it up now and go to a bit of hurling. So Lee, I don't know if you want to take a nap there for a while. Actually, by the way, I should say Celtic Park, not Celtic. I'd be absolutely eaten for that. Galway 17 points, Limerick 17. Should Galway be disappointed they couldn't beat a 14-man Limerick, considering it was for 55 minutes of the game?
I think in one sense they will be disappointed. You know, when Shane O'Brien was sent off, 55 minutes, Galway at home, a few points up, you're thinking, right, this is the chance now. You know, get that win over Limerick and put that bit of doubt in their heads for later on in the year when we meet in the championship. At the same time, they'll be disappointed with this most of the second half display. They'll be happy with the composure they showed at the finish when they were a few points down, especially the last score that they worked. That they showed a bit of composure. They didn't just lamp the ball down the field. They worked it short from a free, and you know, had the confidence in the game plan that they're playing. That, especially in the final moments, that they were able to get a draw. If they lost, it would have been a disaster, a proper disaster, because I'd say Henry Shefflin would have been completely disillusioned with, you know, how things, just that they weren't able to close out the deal. But especially missing Conor Whelan and Dahi Burke as well, they won't be overly concerned, but happy enough.
Is Adam English starting in championship time for you?
I don't think so. I thought he was brilliant at the weekend, 5 brilliant points from play, and he's clearly a very talented player, but I think when it comes down to it, Peter Casey, he's so good, and I know he's at a difficult, hasn't had been at his best in the league so far, but I think it's hard to see Adam English starting, even though he is so good. He's obviously coming closer. One thing, I'm not a fan of Cathal O'Neill in the half back line.
No.
I don't know about you now, but just not, I don't think he seems as direct as what he had been in the... And a lot of people are going on about...
Do you think the teams in Munster will be looking at that saying, we can exploit this here?
I just think you're taken away from him and his game that... Like, he's such a direct player usually, like, and he just seems to be a bit more kind of restrained back there. And I think he's a lad that could start in the forwards, but not as a halfback. Kyle Hayes will be back there, Damon Burns will be there, and Hannon will be there. That is just unshakable, that half back line. And if anyone's going to break into the forward line, my money would be on Cathal O'Neill, but they just need to stop with this messing with him in the half back line.
Okay, there was 3 kind of big incidents. Is not really involving hurling per se. Shane O'Brien gets sent off for ripping the helmet off another player. Did you agree or disagree with this one?
It's probably unlucky for Shane O'Brien that's just the rule, and that is that's the hard and fast rule.
Well, it came in, a player's ear was once ripped off.
Yeah.
It had to be stitched back on because someone pulled off his
helmet. Declan Fanning from Tipperary, yeah. And that's the rule. You can't do it. It was probably an unlucky situation, a bit of a row kind of developed in the sideline, and you know, he's kind of pulling someone off. It wasn't like a textbook ripped the face guard off. He just came under his arm and so on. But that's the rule, and it's a red card, and you just have to suck it up because that is the rule.
But what is it about a schmozzle where players just instantly go for the face guard?
Yeah.
It's just like...
It's so grabbable, to be fair.
Yeah, it is screaming out to be grabbed. They need to make the helmet like flat or something, yeah. Something. And the David Burke slapdown was the kind of second.
That was so clumsy. Like it was very late. Like you talk about things being, you know, milliseconds late. Like he was a full second late and came in and just hacked.
Red card for you. It was red card for me, certainly.
It's a lucky... I don't think it's red. I don't think it's red. Because I don't think there was huge intent. I think it was just extremely clumsy. And late.
It's coming from a traditionalist now, anyway.
And
it's shown again.
I'm giving him just about getting away with it.
It was a hatchet job on him. Lee, did you see any of these, by the way? I feel like I'm absolutely leaving.
No, I actually did watch this game, yeah.
Oh my God, sorry about
that. No, but you mentioned names and all. I was like, oh, I don't know what you guys are on about. But yeah, no, I did. I did watch it. I thought it was very exciting. But I felt there was like an inevitability about Limerick that you just felt like they were going to come into it. That's been my experience of hurling, you know.
Just Limerick being
like,
inevitable.
It's just even like, you know, they got Galway were a man up and at home, and you're just thinking like, you know, everything looks like it's going their way, but you just feel like Limerick are going to find a way, and they always do. And
it's Galway. I can't rate Galway at all. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think they're kind of showing signs that there could be on. Like, this is definitely the year, like, for Henry Shefflin. Like, you know, he's been there 2 years, and they've probably had similar seasons disappointing, and they had the. Like, while it's been okay for them, say, to get to All-Ireland semi-finals, they haven't won Leinster. Kilkenny are going for, isn't it 5 in a row in Leinster? this year. So Galway need...
It's not a classical Kenny team, like, by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not, like, and this is a huge year for Galway. But I think they are showing, just say there at the weekend, missing Whelan, he's their talisman, that there was lads who were able to, like Gavin Lee is a very young man. He's only out of school last year. He had a good game in the half-forward line. He's shown potential. I think there's a lot of potential in Tom Monaghan in the half-forward line. Probably just need him to deliver a small bit more. But Mannion was in the full foot. Cathal Mannion, brilliant again. As usual, Park Mannion, the back's brilliant again. Evan Ireland probably getting a bit more confident. You're looking for maybe Declan McLaughlin to come back in. And I think there could be a big year for Galway.
And I suppose the last incident was the shoulder to the head from Adrian Toohey. Was that a red for you?
It was a tough one, wasn't it? He came in very hard against a smaller man who wasn't caught unawares, we'll say Fergal O'Connor. And
but if it was against a bigger man,
it would have been fine.
But you don't get a privilege for being small.
Isn't, but like...
Otherwise, I'd be the best player there is.
I don't think he made a conscious effort to go down and shoulder him. It's kind of just...
Yeah,
it's where he was. And
but is it not on the duty of the player who's tackling that, like, he knows he's a smaller man. Like, he can see that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this is just a big surprise from at the time.
I know, but that's not his fault either.
I know, but he's a smaller man. Like, you can't, like, take someone out with a shoulder straight into the head, like.
Yeah.
Whether he's 5 foot two or if he's six.
I should really be on the other side of this argument, as a 5 foot two man.
I'm fighting for you here, man.
If you were to shoulder me, it would be pretty bad, to be fair.
Yeah.
I'd be getting his hip in my eye.
I don't know. It's a tough one because I don't think there was like intent to go for the head, you know, but you're just not allowed to do it.
Well, yeah. I think that was kind of a strange thing from Galway. It was weird. That's happened against Limerick because they're so used to doing it to other teams, but they were kind of bullied physically at certain areas of the pitch because they had so many younger lads
on. It was probably a thing that Galway are saying, you know, that we need to actually become the aggressors here and just show Limerick, lay down a bit of a marker to them. I was kind of on the fence about the two of them. Yellow cards. I think probably one of them deserved red, I think, anyway.
Okay.
Which one?
you are a pure J man, I don't know which one, but he doesn't deserve one of them.
You know.
not that I'll be making any Nostradamus prediction here, but Cian Lynch as well. He's gonna have some serious year for Limerick.
Unreal. Like, so good against Tipperary last weekend, and just the same, it's Cian Lynch just dictating the whole thing, throwing balls out to lads. He's absolutely class.
Waterford 2-9, Kilkenny 18 points, 2,907 in attendance. That's terrible.
That's shocking. That is that's absolutely shocking. I know it was something of a dead rubber.
And
for
I know
Waterford,
Kilkenny were playing as well, obviously.
For Waterford, I know you have this is your thing with Kilkenny.
Oh, this so is going to be a thing. Don't you worry.
You have to stick with this. But it was a shocking day. Waterford had very little to play.
Shocking
for.
Waterford.
The Ireland and rugby match was on at the same time. Traditions
like yourself now making excuses like that.
Excuses. I'm a sporting traditionalist. I'm not just a J traditionalist. I love sport in general. So, you know, if you're going to miss one, it can be hard to leave the couch on a day like that when you could see the two of them.
Sooner see the Black and Tans and Croker than the rugby fans, I'd say.
I'm not going to get involved with that, but look, very, very disappointing, shocking league come in for Waterford. All they only beat Offaly on the first day, and they didn't hurl well that day. They got three quick goals to kind of kill them off. Offaly still came back into it. Waterford were winning this game at half time. They scored 4 points in the second half. Like, I know the conditions were bad, but absolutely really concerning league campaign for them. And you would have to be worried. They've Cork in the first round of the Munster Hurling Championship, so this is going to be a big one. And Waterford needs something serious to happen because, like, the injuries aren't really a thing anymore. Like, they're only missing And Michael Kiley was injured last week. Yeah,
Davy Fitz was using, like, just as an excuse again, we'll be all right for championship, we've let's yeah. come back. It's a bit late in the day for that now, lad, to be
it
honest.
It is, like, because most of them are back. Like, you have Jamie Barron is back, Caelum Lyons is back. I know they're missing Stephen Bennett, Mikey Kiley. They're Conor Plunty. They're the main three, but it's definitely... They need something big to change. Now they'll have a long run in to the championship and they'll be gunning for Cork, I can imagine, but they need to improve.
Cork will be gunning for them after seeing that performance.
Yeah.
Especially the form Cork are hitting. Look, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But
yeah, I can tell you're straining.
I'm getting excited on that. Another good point, Owen Cody moved away from the green boots to orange boots, Niall. This was a huge talking point around.
Huge, absolutely huge talking point around Waterford. Isn't it funny how players like I would nearly say that white boots are kind of more attention seeking than like pink or orange or green. Like, would you agree with me? Like, that it seems more flashy. Like,
well, white came out first, just and then they went into like the coloured sort of boots.
Yeah,
it was just black or white, and everyone had black bar the one odd person that had the white boots. So I think they've just carried that reputation now. But I know what you mean.
Like,
I think
I'm behind that one now.
Really? I think it's more...
Did he have snot green boots last year?
Yeah.
Looking terrible.
I didn't mind them now. I just think that...
What colour are your boots?
If he had white boots, I think it would stand out a bit more to me.
What colour are your boots?
My boots are black, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Trish. Yeah. You shouldn't even have to ask.
I know, but I just thought maybe you were going to surprise us there.
I don't know what it says about Owen politically, but moving to orange boots on St. Patrick's Day, like, it's not a good look. We now move in to take your point, where we go through one bad point with the weekend's action and one good point. It is not just limited to the action on the pitch. Anything goes. Lee, we'll start on a positive note here. Your good point first.
My big good point of the weekend was seeing Matty Donnelly back on the pitch again. I spoke to him last October in an interview.
Name drop.
He was telling me, my good personal friend, Matty Donnelly. But he was saying that like he picked up a really serious injury playing for Trillick, a broken tibia, and messed up his knee badly. I was saying to him, well, what's that mean for the Tyrone season next year? Like, when will you be back? Sort of just assuming. And he said, I'm actually seeing the consultant tomorrow, and it's a worst case scenario, I'll never play for Tyrone again, and best case scenario, that I'll be back just for championship. And to see him back with two games left in the league, right in the pressure cooker of that Monaghan game, with the weather and the conditions, and he wins a high ball and you're nearly nervous for him because he comes down, landing on top of everyone, bounces straight back up and gives it away. I'm just in complete awe of the man in terms of admiration, like, because it's just a serious, serious turnaround, and fair play to him, because that's two or three really serious injuries he's picked up, and every single time he bounces back and he's no less the player.
Kyle McShane on the same subject, he gave the big fist bump after.
It was so good to see them. Yeah,
great one to see him, because it was his first score of the league. I know he played a few games, but
he just came on against Kerry. That's it. So it did it up, and it means so much to forwards, doesn't it? But like he was contributing already elsewhere, and winning ball and all.
Bad injury struggles as well. Like,
really, really, really unlucky
to get back. So that's two big ones for Tyrone, isn't it?
Your good point here.
My good point, Lee actually mentioned it earlier, is the long passes over the top. Like, obviously the Niall Morgan one was the standout
magic
one, that, you know, you often have this blanket and everyone pushes up the field and he just beats the whole thing and lashes it down into Darragh Canavan's path.
Unbelievable.
For a beautiful, beautiful goal.
One of the goals of the league, I would say.
Yeah, was. It was one that just gets you up off your seat.
But he had so much still to do. And like, you're just like watching. It's like, how is this going to end? It was so exciting.
It kind of sums up the game, doesn't it? That like the Monaghan two lads back were number 11 and number 15 chasing chasing Canavan and McCurry back. Like, where is the full back line? Like, Brian O'Toole was marking Canavan for most of that game.
Yeah.
Like, where is the cornerbacks? Like, why are they up? I know
Monaghan
were attacking.
Gone.
It's just, and this is why I'm loving this long pass. And it wasn't the only one. Lee mentioned the Niall Scully one. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. Like, that was just, I'm just going to boot this.
It was like a throwback.
It was probably different that it wasn't one, like, over the top.
Yeah.
It was just one of those ones where you're out.
It's like a
in
Trent
the playground.
Alexander Arnold type.
You know,
type
when you're in the school or whatever and you just shout Gary Owen and you just boot one up into the sky.
More rugby talking this part. What is this?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely love that now, I have to say.
Ryan O'Donoghue as well.
It works out too, because it puts defender, like especially that Scully one, defenders don't want to see a ball coming from 50 yards up in the sky, especially when you have someone like Conor Callaghan
just breathing down your neck, like, and you know he's going to do something.
And I think Scully is actually playing really well. He's
fantastic.
Probably had a difficult, hasn't been his best maybe, but he's back to, looks really confident. That wasn't the only one. Jordan Flynn hit a lovely one into, I think it was Ryan O'Donoghue at one stage, over the top, and you see the goalies scrambling, running back. I love to see them lads getting getting caught out. It just adds to a bit of excitement. And you mentioned the Ryan O'Donoghue one. That was unbelievable as well.
Yeah.
Over the top, Paul Towey just came on and he was nearly beside the goals. But Donoghue just kicks it over everyone. And it beats that rubbish of hand passing and a screen in front of you. And I just love to see it.
It's that whole thing again too. It's like, it's not just, oh, just launch it in, just launch it in, where you're blindly just putting hate on it.
If even though Scully did that.
Well, but you seen O'Donoghue, like, he's head up, wasn't on, took a bounce, head up.
That was class.
And then as soon as it just clicked, then it was an accurate pass.
It was
pass
a brilliant finish
make.
By Towey.
Yeah, it was.
Like, he had such small space to maneuver himself in. Exceptional.
Lee, we'll stick with you here now. Your bad point.
God, I'm so hyped now, I forget my bad point. Sean O'Shea. No, the Sean O'Shea goal being disallowed, I was really annoyed about that. I thought
it was like a bicycle fist. It was like,
Is that allowed that you can do that?
Well, if you've lost possession of the ball, which he had when it was in the air, you're not allowed to throw it to yourself.
He kind of flicked it himself and then comes in.
But he had it in his hand, sort of. I mean, because he was being pulled down, it was sort of thrown up in the air. So to me, that's a loose ball again. And then he gets his other hand.
I think it was kind of part of his thinking, right? Like, does someone hang me here? Can't get it straight in and just going to flick it up.
That was his thinking in those milliseconds.
Yeah.
He still deserves the goal.
I think the ref has to go.
Unbelievable.
Here, lad. Just happened.
You're going to give the penalty and all anyway. Like, I just thought that was like,
he gave the penalty that Clifford absolutely fucking made a tits of.
He went for
his
the top
run-up was just a strange one.
Yeah.
It was like that old Paul Pogba one I used to hear. I just didn't like Paul Pogba in fairness, but he just the about 17 stutters. Full scene is here. But he still got his point. Maybe he was being really smart with it.
I don't think he was. His face afterwards, like, geez, I made a tits of that. Niall, your bad point.
The Hurling League attendances, we kind of mentioned them earlier on there, Dan. And look, I'm conscious here. I don't want to try and get you really worked up here about this whole, because it could easily happen. I can see you getting a little bit tense here beside me, but 3,000 at Walsh Park, we mentioned that was absolutely shocking. Something similar around 3,000 at Wexford and Cork, which was disappointing because Wexford could have
the Wexford fans though, obviously.
Wexford are usually hugely supported, aren't they? Like,
maybe because it's just nothing really to play for.
The weekend, I'm thinking this rugby thing kind of took away from. I'm honestly now. And the Patrick's weekend in Everton, and people have so many things going on that all added to it. But it was the same for Antrim. Darren Leeson, gave a bit of a call out to the Antrim fans. He said, it's time for people to get back with their feet. You need to get back in behind it for these big games coming up in the Leinster Championship. We have Wexford coming here. You have Carlow and Galway. You know, he's calling on the fans to get out there. They obviously weren't there in Corrigan Park either. So that's definitely disappointing. And I think the whole way, like, you look in, say, the Mayo Derry game, there was 9,000 at that. Mm-hmm. Like,
I knew a good few Derry fans.
Three times
for us,
the amount that was at the hurling games. Like, it's not good. It's definitely something to worry about. And the whole Hurling League has been a bit, it just hasn't really kicked off. I don't know, would you agree, Dan? But it just hasn't captured the imagination. Championship coming up.
Does the league ever really capture the imagination?
I think it would have, when there was, like, I'm a kind of a backer for this split season because I think it is a huge help to, you know, club players and the game in general. But I think we need a small bit more of a gap, whether it's a week or two, just to restore a bit of pride into the league, because I think it's gone, like, nobody really cares. Lads don't want to get into, we mentioned Alan Connolly said it earlier, they don't want to get into league finals, like, which is an absolute shame. Like, and Peter Canavan was probably right. I think it should get rid of the league finals, like, and just play it as a straight out league, and like every league in the world, like, the winner is on top with, and forget the league final, because, like, to play, teams don't want to get there.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're a hurling team, you're probably aiming for the semi-final spot.
That's
and then
it.
You want to kind of probably lose a semi-final.
Like, that's a like that is a joke. Yeah. Like
it's no position to be
come
in,
on.
Is it?
Like, yeah. I like, you know, how are Allianz, like, I'd say they're kicking up a bit of a fuss that it's like, this isn't good, like, for this competition. Do you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a good competition and it's just gone.
You must be paid for Oxford as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the league in football, to be fair, up until about next week onwards. Like, which would be like the most important weeks, but from here on, like, it's not really to play for.
Right. The ref's whistle has gone. It's time to head to the tunnel for the banana and the cup of tea at half time. Join us in the second half, where we'll be talking to Rowan Monaghan, Kerry Roscommon, and the incoming Cork All-Ireland double.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the second half of the GAA Hour. Niall McIntyre and Lee Costello are still surprisingly here with me. Other games from the weekend: Tyrone 119, Monaghan 213. 10 years in Division 1 is over for the Farnie Army. Good to get one over on Monaghan, Lee.
Yeah, but I'm disappointed that they're relegated. I love the Monaghan in Division 1. I love the big Great Escape every year. Just never wanted to be at Tyrone's expense. So, you know, firmly enjoyed that game, though, like, genuinely. I mean, I'm glad Monaghan brought it.
You'd imagine they go straight back up.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. I would think so, yeah. And they've got, like we mentioned earlier, about the structures and stuff in place that they have. And 10 years in Division 1 football, you don't just forget about that standard. Do you know what? It might just do them the world of good to get a whole run of wins in a row if everything goes according to plan next year. And then they can build on that again. But, well, another sort of good point about it, too, was just the return of Conor McManus. Mm-hmm. Seeing him in full flight. Six points, 36 years old, 18th season as
and
an inter-county player.
Like he hasn't aged a day. Like.
Honestly, and he is just, I'm like, he's still their most dangerous forward. Like, he is absolutely incredible. Class. Hands down, in my opinion, the best forward to ever play in Ulster.
Jeez, but that state of the pitch, though.
I know.
What are you doing up there?
I don't. I said, we like it that way. So when all the Southerners come up, you know, they don't know what to do.
Well, Canavan nearly didn't like it because that ball.
Oh, that was all on purpose. No, I don't know what's up with Healy Park, to be fair. Like, that's Oma's club's pitch. So, and, you know, haven't visited it all the time or whatever. Like, I don't know where they train or whatever. Like, is that club doing all their training and playing there? And in the counties are all there. I know they train in Govrahe, but just in terms of matches, it sees a lot of action, and it's obviously too much because it was in a right state. Did you see the leaf blowers trying to blow the water off?
Lance the rollers and the leaf blowers.
Yeah, they the groundsmen had their work cut out for them that day, but I suppose that's home advantage, isn't it? They're used to it.
Yeah. Well, look, we talked a fair bit about them earlier. I suppose Canavan and McCurry. McCurry again with 6 points. Like, what a...
Oh, unbelievable.
Just a gem of this league, like.
And then up that point at the end, outside the left, from the left, at a stage where it had gone a long time without a point, and it was like sort of next point feels
Milton
really,
pot, like.
Yeah, in injury time for him to take that on and for it to go so, hit it so sweetly on that day and for it to go over the bar. And he was delighted with it too, you know, like the passion from him and everything. This is just what it's like being a Tyrone fan. I'm absolutely gutted with him 1 week and then now I think we can do anything this week, you know, just when you see moments like that and performances like that and the players that you have, you're like, the fuck are we not hammering teams or playing this total football brand every single time? But, you know, hopefully, I know it's Dublin next week and it's technically a dead rubber, but I think back-to-back performances are absolutely crucial because Niall Morgan said it after the game. They haven't done that since they won the All-Ireland. Mm-hmm. And you need to put a run of things together.
Some of the young lads are stepping up as well. Like Ben Cullen is a beast. Was one stage of him just booting up the field and you're like, this lad is he's a proper animal.
A halfback as well. I really liked him there.
Your man midfield, isn't it? Donaghy as well. Yeah, he's powerful. You know, so these lads are...
He wears hoop socks. He's the only one. Have you noticed that?
And he has them up, pulled up.
Yeah, pulled them all the way up. I don't know what the story is of that and I want to know. maybe. And then even Kieran McGeary coming back and had a good game. It was brilliant.
Right, we'll have to move on. We're under pressure for time. It's Kerry 117, Roscommon 111. The amount of kids that surrounded Clifford after that game. I wonder, is he still there?
Yeah, he's selling them all gloves. Clifford catchers, yeah.
Do we have to get that trademark now before he gets
in? ITM, how do you do that?
Did you see him pushing the crowd back at one stage? He literally had to direct him. He actually needs...
Moses parting the sea.
Yeah. He needs like a PA at full time in these games. Like.
Yeah.
That's why he has to sprint off the pitch, like,
I know,
most of the time.
And like, you're just exhausted. The whistles went, you know, you're catching your breath and everyone's coming up and you have to...
You know, there was about 100 people gathered around him, like, and that's not even an exaggeration.
And most of them are Roscommon.
That's the thing.
It's like Elvis or something, isn't it? He's the celebrity.
He is, like.
This one, though, was kind of a hammering without really being hammered on the scoreboard. Lee, did you feel like it was?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I mean, there's something about Roscommon. Ever since they put in that performance against Dublin last year in the championship, in that group stage thing, where they held on to the ball for 6 minutes. Do you remember that? And all the fuss around it. They got a draw that game and they probably should have won it. I think they've taken like too much confidence from that and they've gone so far that way now with this possession-based game. Because the thing about having a possession-based game and trying to control the game that way, and all the key words that they're saying, is that you become very passive and slow because you can't do anything at intensity if you're keeping the ball and not trying to get it up the field.
And so then when your key players get it, like Enda Smith gets it, it's just slow ball coming to him and he literally has to run through everyone.
Exactly, yeah, and you're just making it mission impossible
and
for them.
Players, like,
that's it, no, 100%. And then, like, Kerry, you know, anytime they do get the ball, they're going to make you pay for it. So you're not doing enough with it, and then you're completely open when the opposition have it. So they're becoming difficult to watch now, which is just so disappointing because in the league last year, they were one of the teams to watch. The way they beat Mayo in the Connacht Championship was fantastic. But if you had it like between them and Galway, like who deserves to get relegated? You know, you'd have to say Roscommon.
It's definitely Roscommon because we talked about Galway's injuries. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, it's just disappointed in them, to be honest. Like, I'm like
since that Mayo game, it's just been real downhill. Like, since, you know, losing to Kildare,
fell off a cliff, really.
Losing to Kildare and losing to Cork, then you don't want to lose to Cork, like.
No, Jesus Christ!
People lose
Imagine
to Cork.
That. embarrassing. Look. The big talking point out of this one now, in retrospect, Cathal Hennigan, that stamp on Jason Foley has to be one of the most heinous acts at intercounty level we've seen for quite some time.
Well, it'll be going to a review. I'd say he'll be getting a letter in the post soon enough to say that he's going to, they're going to review it and he'll probably get a... the quadruple C are coming for him, I would say. But yeah, no, look, listen, it really didn't look good, did it? After scoring a goal... To go and do something like that.
For the delight of scoring a goal, and in that moment, how does your brain switch to, I'm going to get this fucker on the ankle here, is just insane to me.
No, it is. And like, it's only intention to hurt. You know, like, there's dirty moves that players can do. Like, you know, forwards, sometimes they would stand on your toe when they go one way and then sprint the other way. And it's a dirty move, but at least the essence of it is so they can gain an advantage to get the ball. But with something like that, you're only trying to hurt someone and cause a lot of hurt to them as well.
Like, I'm not saying Hennigan's a prick. I don't know the lad, but it was the move over one.
Yep. I mean, like, yeah, like, there's nothing else really to it. Like, it's just such a disappointing way because they got the goal, they got back into it, and then you do something like that. And now Foley, I know he didn't come off injured straight after that incident, but he did hurt his ankle.
He was in a heap then after.
Yeah.
O'Connor came out and said it was a bad one. Mm-hmm. That indicates to me it's definitely at least fractured anyway, probably broken.
Yeah.
That's probably him out for the season, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And like, to get away with that then, scot-free, you know, and he's going to miss the game, that probably isn't something that'll sit right. So I'd be very surprised if he doesn't receive a punishment.
Yeah, if the GA don't give punishment in retrospect of this, surely they're neglecting player welfare.
Yeah, it was just sad to see Jason Foley, like, he was in a really bad way, wasn't he? Having to be carried off, and he could barely put any weight on the ankle. His head was down. It was just a sorry sight, and all the stewards were in. I think they were going to come in with a stretcher. He didn't need it in the end, but it was bad, and felt for him. You know, it was just such a, you can imagine how, because he was lying down flat and standing on the back of the ankle, like, is this going to cause a lot? Like, I can even imagine the Achilles, pain, like it's getting flashed into the ground, like, as well. Like, so it was nasty, nasty one. And you just hope it's not that as bad as it looked. And it was definitely, you don't like to see it. Like, you know, players, like, you know, it can happen. Players can lose their heads at different times, you know. He was jostling in with Foley, and, you know, he's just trying to beat him, but he just got carried away. Yeah,
he came off the bench as well, didn't he?
You just, you have to, when you do something like that, you just have to face the punishment. Like, I don't like, he's a brilliant player, and like, you don't like see, you know, him getting a huge backlash or anything like that, because I'm sure he knows what he did was stupid and it was wrong in a split second. I don't like to kind of creep out about a player over something, you know, that happens in a split second, but it was just a bad thing to
there are some online calling for a career ban. No, I don't agree with that at all. No. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's way too extreme.
That's weird. Like, that's a joke. Like, people are ridiculous calling for this sort of rubbish as well. Like, that's complete and utter.
But if Foley is gone for the year, Hennigan has to be as well.
I don't think he'd be gone for the year. I don't think so.
That definitely deserves it. There's no respect for the other, for the opposition there.
Look, a three game ban, I'd say, would be enough. For
the problem is,
like,
when you ever do it in weeks, though, it's like a 12-week ban.
Yeah,
and then they always seem to work it out. You know that, like,
30 weeks, then whatever it is,
all the weeks that there is no games and stuff, you know, and then all these extra games. But no, it's just a sad incident, to be honest.
Louth, 6 goals, 17 points for Manna, 11 points for me. What an absolute rout there was there.
Oh my God, like, it's just fantastic. I think Sam Mulroy was on fire, and I think he lobbed the goalkeeper.
Did you see
that?
Yeah. Did you see the Fermanagh lad's pass back? Did you see that? No?
Yeah, oh, I know why.
He just booted it back. Yeah. And Sam Mulroy and some other Lauda were there, and there was 2-on-2 with the goalie out.
Yeah.
And he gave a big Gary Owen again into the two. And you're like, what? It was craziness. Yeah.
All players,
obviously, another moment of madness. Don't want to go in too hard on him, but Mulroy finished well, and he was on fire.
Armagh 212, Cavan 12 points, as we were saying earlier. Can touch on Armagh going 221. Well. Sorry. I am looking at it and reading it here. I'm dyslexic, all right, actually. I have the farms to prove it. Look, Armagh, do you think they'll do damage in Championship this year, Lee?
Well, here, that's actually a massive win. I thought Cavan were really going to put it up to them. I did think Armagh would win, but I thought they'd win a close game. Cavan have been very impressive this year, moving really well under Raymond Gallagher. So for Armagh to go out, put that sort of scoreline together, and without Rian O'Neill, who they were just so overly dependent on last year, and the fact that they got their big criticism last year, that they were overly defensive and not adventurous enough going forward. I mean, like, looking at that, like, you would say that they've been trying to rectify that, and that'll make them a very dangerous team going into Ulster.
Well, you might as well end on a high when we're talking about the GA action here. Wexford 115, Cork 321 in the hurling. I think that's the All-Ireland one, Niall, it's fair to say.
I think so, yeah. Cork are a really confident breed, as myself and Lee are finding out here over the last two or three weeks. And look, I have to say, they're playing very well. I didn't expect them to, probably expect them maybe to beat Wexford, but didn't expect them to hammer Wexford like as they did to Offaly last week. When they build up ahead of steam, they're a dangerous team and they have the momentum. I love Alan Connolly inside. He wants to score, not only score goals. That's his.
But it's
his
pure
team.
Like, it's not even good ball he's getting. It's just shit, dirty ball, and
he'll
managing
take
to pick
it up, and he'll be in around the goals, and he's skillful, and, you know, he's brilliant, and he'll add something in terms of a target to Cork, a target man for Cork. There.
Exactly. So many teams are going to be focused on Hoggy, obviously.
Yeah.
That now they have him to worry about
and
as well.
They can just hit it into him. You know, if they're under pressure, sometimes they deny you with the short. I don't know if it annoys you, but definitely annoys me when they'd be pricking around with the flute around with
don't
the
get
short
pass.
But I'd love to see a few balls just lamp it into Connolly. He's well able for it.
I'd say Pat Ryan seems to be building extremely well for Championship. Now, we probably think this every shagging year, but he seems to be building extremely well for Championship.
He does. And they're
hitting form at a good time. I wish we were in the semi-final just to start out the team a bit more. have a bit more chance to see what's what.
But. Yeah, they quite had a slow start to the league that day against Kenny. They were poor, but yeah, they've built up lovely and they're looking good now.
Wait, what was that rugby tackle by Wexford? What was he doing?
That was unbelievable.
Weird, he complained about it after.
Sure,
as well.
That's just the defensive. You know, sometimes when you're back, sometimes you can kind of forget about everything else. You just don't want a goal or a point to be scored, and it's just an act of desperation. And look, it was so dramatic. Like, it was better than that, and you'd have seen up in the Aviva between Ireland and Scotland. Like, it was a really, really good rugby tackle. And look, it's a lad that doesn't want to be beaten. The game was over at that stage. Like, he mustn't have understood that that's the new rule, that it's a penalty if you give away the goal scoring thing, but I thought it was funny. Like,
yeah,
fair play to him.
That Connolly hockey combo is going to be lethal in 5 weeks' time. Jeez, Waterford are absolutely, they're shagged. They've no hope.
Waterford, Wexford. Look, Wexford.
Well, like, Waterford haven't showed anything at all.
Oh, sorry, Waterford come to Championship. Yeah, they've showed nothing. They haven't. They'll be just hoping that they can miraculously turn something up, but you couldn't be putting too much money on them at this stage.
Yeah, Meath.
So Cork are going to win the All-Ireland, like?
We're doing the double. Meath 111, Cork 115. Don't you know, pump it up. The Cork are staying up. Division 2 football again for us next year. Yeah. There was no footage of the performance, unfortunately. But apparently we brought a fair old crowd. I mean, as Cork people do, we obviously bring good crowds places.
Not usually to the football now.
There's a bit of jeopardy today now, I'd say. To be fair, there's some dedicated bunch who support the Cork footballers. They're coming from West Cork mainly as well, which your people on the road, Kerry travelling for ages, like, that could be even further when you're down Bantry, like, down
yeah.
Way, like,
but, you have to respect those sort of fans, don't they? Just no matter what, they come out. There's some in tip football as well, just diehards, like, and you love them. Love to see them.
Not to outmatch the Matty Donnelly thing. I spoke to John Cleary after the game as well, my good friend John Cleary.
Wow.
Should ring him here in the J or someday, just to flex it. But we'll just send him a congratulations.
Yeah.
But look, not giving too much away. I mean, what our manager's going to give away, really, anyway.
No.
It's kind of just one of those standard 2-3 minute conversations.
Just a buddy, like.
You can't be asking him about individual players because they're not going to give a comment on it, like, so.
Yeah.
We now go to everyone's favourite segment here on the GA. Or, Niall, is it your favourite segment? It is the infamous player
problem.
Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Well, we asked the GA, our public, what's the biggest lie someone has told you about their performance in a game? David P. O'Donnell says, I got off the bench. Shane Flannery says...
That was it.
That
he's going to say he scored like a load of points, but that was just it.
It's definitely a really good dig at someone of his friends. Like,
when TJ Reid played bad in the 2022 All-Ireland final, James Grennan, Shane O'Donnell kind of looks like Jay. Was this planned? I think he means Shane O'Donnell looks like Jay from the Inbetweeners.
Oh, right.
For no, I don't think that was planned. Ewan Cash says he started centre forward scoring 2-4 and he wasn't even at that game.
That's how good he is.
Matthew Callahan, 2005. I scored 3 goals and the manager took me off. Said I was being selfish on the ball. That's a tough one to take, Matthew.
So what is he saying? Is he saying that it's a lie that he scored 3 goals? Like, or what's his...
He's saying the manager's... I suppose not really a lie involved. The manager said he was being selfish on the
Maybe
ball.
Maybe he's basically saying, I was so good, the manager took me off. Yeah. It was unfair to my own teammates.
Marv Era, old lad, says he kicked a point from the corner flag with the outside of his boot in a junior game in the 60s. I feel like everyone's father has one of those. Like,
yeah.
Maybe brought the corner flag with him to the 45 or something.
Do your fathers have any glories on the J pitch?
Sure, you'd hear, you'd often hear the... Especially when the brothers and the uncles are around, they'd be reliving the glory days and how good the club was going back then. So I there's any number of them.
Just competing for some Junior B championship. Like.
Yeah. Well, look, Laura, we were a senior club back in the 80s, won a North Tip championship. So the lads have, they've earned the right to give us a bit of a slagging.
Angle 25 comes in and says, I barely hit that guy. No way, that was a card. That's used often enough now, I would say. James Kennedy, 2012. Carl Lane again might try that one. They scored 5-7 from play and got sent off and got sent after 15 minutes, presumably being sent off.
It must be. I still don't really get it.
I still don't really get it either. Right. Anything you want to pick up on there, lads, before
no.
we wrap up?
No.
No. Wrap up, yeah. They all sound like real player problems to me.
They do have big problems.
Yeah.
Right. The full-time whistle has gone. Thanks a million for joining us once more here on the GAA Hour. Be sure to retweet, repost any of our content, as it's so important to help us grow and it keeps us free as well. Be sure to tell your friends about us in the old group chat and give us an old 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Niall, Lee, it's been an absolute pleasure and we'll chat to you all next week.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.